Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Beth Ellicott.
And you're listening to the midweek version of Fiber Talk, the twice-weekly podcast for the needlework artists. And we will be naming this show the Allergy Show.
Yes, because we're both suffering. I can tell my voice is just going right now. It's like, oh, no.
The miracle of modern medicine is keeping us on our feet. But, it ain't pretty. Mm-mm. Nope. Let's see. Tonight, Michelle Morgan will join us, so we get to look at some of her art, Mutually Assured Deconstruction. So she'll be our guest tonight. That should be fun. It will be fun.
And see if Gary buys that black one from her.
Oh, if it were for sale, I think I would. I really do. Sunday is going to be a unique guest. Ruth Norbury.
Yes.
She does, it's textile art, I guess is the term, right?
Yes. She calls herself Gothic Decay, which, but that doesn't really describe. It's like she's telling a story with her needlework in the way she composes her art with the textiles. I don't know. It was fascinating talking to her.
Yeah, and I think compose is a good term because she puts it together. Like, she doesn't even use just a piece of ground cloth for her background. She actually gets scraps of material and sews them together to make a background. And when you see the background, you go, how is she going to make that look like anything other than a mess? And by the time she's done, holy smokes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's impressive.
Yeah.
She loves her bouillon and her French knots.
Yes. That which is also kind of amazing that that's her favorite look, stitches.
So we'll look for that on Sunday. Gothic Decay, Ruth Norbury, really, really incredible needlework art, fabric art, textile art, whatever you want to call it. Yep, mm-hmm. Good stuff. Yep, Saint-Tropez.
Yeah, I haven't touched mine.
Yeah, I've played a little bit, but I haven't done anything constructive with it. Got to get going. Mm-hmm.
Well, I went and I pulled it out and I looked at it, and of course, I didn't take notes on what I'd done and what my thoughts were. So I looked at it and I was like, "What was I going to do next?" And so then that's when I put it back.
Yeah.
Like, okay, you just need to wait till I have some brain space to look at you. So.
Yep. No, Yeah. We'll be after that here real soon. Yep.
Yes.
A lot of people have finished or are well along. There's some beautiful in the group, on the Facebook group. There's just some beautiful interpretations. Wow.
Right. They are. And so that's what makes me think, I really need to pull mine out and get to work on it. But it's like, oh.
I know that it sets the bar so high. It's like, oh man, but yeah, there's some beautiful work. Really nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So people should definitely join the Facebook page and look and see, what people are doing with their threads. And they, people are changing it just a little bit, maybe they're pulling a different thread. It's just fun to watch.
Yeah. Yep. So that's on the Facebook page or on the Facebook, Yeah. Just look for Mystery in Saint-Tropez Stitching Group and you'll find it. And then you have to ask to be joined. And I check, four or five times a day. So I don't think anybody's waited more than an hour or two to get approved. So, and you'll get approved, trust me. The only way you'll get unapproved is if you start causing trouble. So.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to stitch it. That's the thing. Join the group. You don't have to stitch the project. You'll get sucked in, but you don't have to. You can just join it and learn and see what people are doing with colors because you'll learn a lot from that. So, but if you want to join the group, you can still get the chart from Gayanne Rogers, GayanneRogers.com, and Kathy Ray at Needle and Haystack, who is sponsoring this little effort, will be more than happy to put a kit together for you. So it's not like... you can catch up to Beth and me pretty quickly, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
ours in a while.
Good healthy afternoon with Needle and Thread, and you'll be caught up and ahead of us. Yep. October 18, Marg and I are, we're heading to Paducah, Kentucky for Leslie Rinchen-Wamgo's talk at, there's a quilt, the Quilt Guild facility. Anyway, she's doing a talk about her Threads of Awakening book, so we're going to make the trip and go meet her in person. That'll be fun.
Yeah, and I think you'll like that that museum. Max and I went, and it is a nice quilt. It's not just like normal quilts. It's art quilts. They rotate what's in there, and then there's always an exhibit of quilts that people have, that like a challenge quilt. And so there'll be a lot of those there generally. So it's kind of fun. And even though I know you don't quilt, and I'm not a quilter either, not really, it's fun to see the colors, what people do. And so to me, I think you'll enjoy just even seeing those too, along with Leslie. So,
yeah. Yeah. It'll be fun to meet her in person too. She's quite a story. She's quite a person. So yeah, mm-hmm. Looking forward to that. So that's October 18. Join us if you're there. It's a 2 or 2:30 in the afternoon, presentation, 2:30 to 4 is what it is. And it's all on threadsofawakening.com, her events page on her website. And then she's headed to the East Coast to do a bunch of talks. So watch for that and drop in on her. Yep. Good stuff. So we'll see a little of Kentucky. In Illinois, when we lived in Illinois, think of Kentucky as quite a trip. But then I'm still having trouble getting used to how much further south we are. And I looked on the map in Paducah, Kentucky. That's just down the river and across, and we're there. So, yep.
Right.
Yep. So look for that. Some talk last Wednesday about having a Fiber Talk weekend conference. Stitch, whatever. I don't know.
Just get together.
Yeah. So I think we're going to, Margaret and I have been doing some talking. I think we're going to try and put that together in the spring. Yeah. Figure out a place here in the St. Louis area that's not horribly expensive and easy to get to, and figure out some kind of a program to have and some time to just sit and stitch. And I think we're going to try and put that together. So, and not just cross, it won't be just a cross-stitch only type thing. Anybody, I don't care. Whatever you stitch, you come. It's just to get together and share needlework and talk about it and learn some things. And it's not going to be a classes every hour on the hour kind of thing either. None of that. Plenty of time. But unlike most of the retreats where they're just cross-stitch, no, we don't care. Bring your gold work. We don't care. Bring your gold work. I want to see it. Yeah.
Yeah. Japanese embroider if you're brave and you want to bring your setup. That'd be fun.
Yeah. So, go ahead.
And Marga into helping you, huh?
She actually mentioned it after the show the other night so I think she's interested in doing that. Getting it organized, finding a place and all the things. So, yeah.
Good for her.
I think we'll make it happen. So if you have ideas for what you'd like us to consider, let me know, and we'll start putting things together, I think. Yeah. Why not? Be fun weekend. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Do stitching. It's always fun to meet other stitchers.
Yep. Yeah, but I do want to emphasize that if you only do one technique, we don't care what the technique is. The idea is to get people together to do needlework and needlepoint, cross stitch, white work, gold work, black work. We don't care.
Right. Needle and thread.
Yep. Yeah, that's all that matters.
That's all that matters. Needle and thread. Yep. Ground something, you know.
Yeah. So, so that's coming up. I think we're going to put that together. That should be fun. Now, you raised the other day, Saturday, I guess it was, something that quite frankly had fallen out of my head, and that's the EGA virtual lectures.
Yeah, I was surprised you didn't try for those again. I know I have been, I faithfully sign up for them every time. I get a little reminder sent to my email box saying, oh, it's time for you to sign up. I go and I sign up and I put myself in the lottery. And a lot of times I haven't made it. For the last 2 months, I have. I couldn't attend the one with Margaret Kinsey. I think she was doing the Rosashi.
Right.
But I was busy. And so immediately when I realized that I had something scheduled, I canceled. And they gave my spot to somebody else on the waiting list, which is nice. They also have something called, I think they call it flyby or fly standby. So because people won't show up and they only have 100 spots. So they give you a specific time. You need to arrive like 20 minutes before the Zoom lecture starts. And several people must have walked away and not joined and or didn't respond. And she's like, okay, I waited long enough for you and moved to somebody else. So you want to stay there, get yourself in the Zoom room, and then go get your coffee or drink or whatever you need. But then if you're on the waiting list, they'll send a notice out saying, be here, be in the waiting room by this time. And if people aren't there, we're going to fill the room. So there were 100, it was full. It was 100 participants in the Zoom lecture. And they were very, very strict about, you know, their little protocol, but it was a wonderful lecture. The few that I've been able to attend have all been good. And, you know, a wide variety of techniques are discussed. So, but yeah.
Yeah. See, I was in on it, but I haven't gotten a notice. So it's probably because I haven't participated in, so I just forgot. And then when you brought that up, I thought, why did I forget to do this? Because they're really good.
Right.
So I better get myself on the list. But yeah, it was one of those where I didn't get in, and then just forgot about it. But
right.
Yeah, you got to be persistent, I guess. And the flyby thing, yeah, or the standing room only thing, you know, that's a good idea. Then they don't have wasted spots.
Right. And I think that's what the problem was. People would say, oh, yeah, I'm going to come. And then they wouldn't show up. You know, life happens. Something happens. You can't make it. You know, you have an emergency or forget or whatever. So this is a way for them to make sure everybody, as many people as possible can. Now, if you go to the EGA website, I think you can set a reminder to be signed up for that lottery. So not until November is when the lottery is happening. And then they'll ping you and say, okay, you have this much time to sign up to get in. And so you go, you sign yourself up, and then you get a notice if you're admitted or not. So, because I think the next lecture is not till December.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, then I'll be, as soon as we get done here, I'll be getting back on the list and back in the deal because, they're really good. You got to be an EGA member, but that's not exactly a burden, quite frankly. Sign up, EGA member, be a member at large. If you don't know anybody, you don't have a local guild, just be a member at large. That's what I do. And you just pay the annual fee, and then you have all the privileges of the EGA, which are extensive.
Right. Yeah, and this has been nice. When people figured out Zoom, and EGA figured out this Zoom lecture thing, this has been a nice bonus. You know, these lectures can be expensive for a smaller guild to have. And here you have this opportunity to hear, like, well, this was Catherine Jordan and her needlework maps, which I find fascinating. In fact, I have one of her maps in my basement.
There we go.
Waiting for me. But it was just interesting to hear her talk about it and how she goes through her process of making her maps. And so you learn so much from attending these lectures. And yeah, I highly recommend it. Highly recommend it.
Yep. So, yeah, so check that out.
Yeah.
I say to myself, check it out. Let's go. Yeah, I just need to, you know how those things just fall off the table and then
right.
you forget
right.
about them. Yeah.
Right. And the other thing EGA is offering is it's got its online classes going now. And several members of my guild took the, Katie Duguid? That's not her last name. She does gold work. Anyway.
Oh, yes. So, Duiguid.
Yes.
That one. That Katie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They took gold work class, which was a beginning class. And it had videos to go with it, which was really nice. Because if you're a beginning gold worker, you want to be able to see that, see how everything works. And they said they were excellent. It was an excellent class. Yeah. And as a member at large, you can take those classes. You don't have to be a member of a large guild to be able to take a class like that, which is also an advantage if you want to learn a technique.
Yep. So. Yeah, EGAUSA.org. And there's a bunch of free stuff that you don't have to be a member. There are some free projects and things that will entice you to join the organization, no doubt. But yeah, EGA is they got it together. I really, really like them. I mean, they sponsor a show every month, so I like them for that. But on top of it, I mean, just as an organization in general, I really think they're doing they do a lot for a lot of people with a lot of techniques, different techniques. You can find something from EGA that suits your desires. Yep.
Right.
Good one. Your local EGA chapter, what, small number, large number?
I think we have about 50 members.
50, that's pretty good.
Yeah, some of them are plural. We have a lot of people that live locally or, belong to our chapter and another one. It's not too bad, but we, to get a workshop going, we normally have a minimum of 10, and sometimes that's hard to get. Yeah. If it's a technique people don't want, or so it's a nice size guild. We have people joining all the time. We just had someone recently ask about joining.
Yeah.
So but what's nice about having a guild is you have people there that know maybe know a specific technique or are willing to teach you how to do something. So the other day we were practicing putting together or like a small flat ornament thing. And I sat down and I was supposed to teach it. And the gal said, she goes, well, you really should do it this way. I was taught to do it this way is how she put it. And so she showed me the correct way to do it. And I said, no, why didn't you teach? She goes, oh, I can't teach in front of a group. But then she proceeded to teach all of us at the table the correct way to lace this thing. So you had really nice mitered corners on a small little project. And I was like, this is why I like being part of a guild. Because if I had just fumbled through myself, it would not have looked as neat as when this lady took the time to teach me. And again, we have lots of members who have, a lot of knowledge, and they're willing to share that knowledge.
Yeah.
With the other members. It's really nice.
I could teach a group of people around the table, but I can't teach. Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
Just didn't want to stand up in front of us and teach, I think was the issue. But
right.
I understand.
Yeah, that is intimidating. For some, it can be intimidating. It never bothered me, but yeah, it can be intimidating. Stand up there, all eyes on you, and all right, now you're supposed to deliver. And
right, yeah. But because it was a small group just sitting there, she felt very comfortable, I think, helping us walk through it. So
then set up people in a circle and be one of the people in the circle and then do it that way. Yeah, I don't know.
Right.
Yeah, right. No, When you stand up in front of a bunch of high school kids and have to teach them science, you get over that stuff in a hurry. Yep.
I am sure that would be terrifying.
Yeah, that's you either get over it or die, one or the other. Yep.
Yeah, think or swim.
Yep.
Think of at that point.
Yep. Yeah. So join the EGA. If you're not a member already, join them. Check it out, egausa.org. There is a lot of free stuff that is there for anyone. Once you get inside, and I'll tell you, if you ever have any doubts, just go to the gallery section at the EGA website. That'll cost you a couple hours right there. Okay, I forget who we talked to. I think it was a Sunday interview. We've been doing a bunch of them because we're trying to get them recorded all the way into January, so that over the holidays we aren't scrambling to find people and having success doing that. But somewhere along the way we talked about Inspirations Magazine, and I commented that I have a whole stack of them and several of their books. Oh, and that new book.
Oh. That was bad. You set me looking at that, and I was trying not to.
Oh. What is it? It's a Christmas one. Mary Corbett. You can get it from Mary Corbett if she has any left.
Yeah, no, it's not. I don't think it's – is it Christmas? I don't think it's
– Oh, I thought it was. Danbury or something. I thought it was a Christmas theme, though. Maybe it's something else.
Yeah, I don't think so. It does have a penguin in it. Penguin is adorable.
But that book, yeah, I got to get that book. And Mary Corbett has some, or at least she had when she announced it, probably in typical Mary Corbett fashion, 5 minutes after she announced it, they were gone. But that's because that's one of their passions, right? Passions for needlework.
Right. And I think it's book four.
Yeah. Worth owning all of them. Own them all just to sit with your feet up one night and just go through them. That's all that matters. Yeah.
I keep thinking of that little, it's a three-dimensional penguin that's in that book. And I'm like, oh, that is so cool. Oh man. How did they make that? Oh, and then I just want to look at it closer and I'm like, well, then I got to get the book.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So yeah, the Passions books, that series, well, they just do everything so well. I mean, if you're not a subscriber to Inspirations Magazine, if you get no other magazine about needlework, that's the one to get, without a doubt. They never disappoint. I don't remember who we were talking to, but I commented that I have a whole stack of their stuff and I've never done one project. And after we got done recording that show, I thought, how come? Why haven't I? Because there's two or three in every issue that I would do.
Mm-hmm.
So why is that? What's wrong with me? You know?
Yeah, it's it was called Collier Square by Betsy Morgan. And we did that as like a little study group at my guild. So the price of the kit from Australia was more than we were like, we could probably get this if we had X amount of people, we could get this cheaper. And that's what we did. It took us a while to gather all the stuff we needed, but we did. We kit it up and we all made it. And there was three of us that finished it because that was the part we were most interested in. The stitching wasn't that hard. There were a few specialty stitches. But then we made this thing that it opens and it closes and it was fun. It was fun. And then another group from that same magazine, they gathered the materials and are doing Hazel Blomkamp's mandala musings out of it.
Oh.
Again, they one lady said, okay, I'll get the materials for us and I'll lead it. And she did. She's got one quarter done and it's just beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Just a beautiful pattern. But we said, okay, you guys get your magazine. So, yeah, beautiful.
Yeah,
you should do something out of there.
Yeah, I should. Because, see, that's the other part is you don't have to buy the stuff from Inspirations. You don't have to buy the kit from them. They list exactly everything you need for a project. And so, you know, Sassy Jack's, Needle in a Haystack, Kim, Kathy, they'll help you get it. Your local needlework store, they'll help you dig the stuff up, you know, if it's available. Some of it might be tough to get a hold of, but if you poke around a little bit, you'll find it. If it's unusual, Kathy Ray probably has it.
Right.
But yeah, you don't have to wait, pay shipping from Australia and wait for the kitten. They're usually sold out anyway. You can source your own materials. It's
the only thing I'll say though about that is the beading. Of beading things, and just because if you have to buy your own beads, unless you're not close to a bead store, and I think there are only two really big bead stores in the United States, that's hard to do, and it's cheaper just to buy the kit. Because you have to buy so many extra to get what you need. And so it's one of those things that's probably more cost effective to just buy the kit. And it might be worthwhile to, if you have someone else in your, that you know, that would want to do the same piece. I know a friend has done, I think it's Margaret Lee's, one of her beaded bags out of there. And she was so glad she bought the kit because the design was drawn on to the fabric for her.
Oh.
And, you know, it was on black fabric. So to have that already traced on there was a huge, big deal.
Yeah, that's a plus there, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but yeah, they're beautiful magazines. And there's the other thing is, even if you don't do anything out of them, the articles are interesting.
Mm-hmm.
They have several very, very good, interesting articles about people who are doing some sort of art, needlework art.
Right.
Which I find fascinating.
Yeah, yeah. That's the other part is not, that's what I like about it. I think more than anything is it's not just a project book that gives you another 100 projects that you really don't have time for. There's plenty else in there that, that makes it interesting to read.
And again, another plug for them, they have beautiful stitch diagrams. So let's say, you know, you're doing a white work, technique, and you need a better stitch diagram than you have in your chart, or
yep,
they have beautiful stitch diagrams in their magazine. So again, another good resource for that. So
yeah, in the recent issue, The Spirit of Christmas, whatever number that is, 116, there's an article in there about Lindsay Gradoff from Japan, who we interviewed. And, interesting. She's a lot of fun anyway, and I love her art. But it was like, oh, man, I wish I could get a line in there and say, hey, listen to the podcast on Fiber Talk. Cause,
yes.
but, yeah, so when you read that article, look up the podcast on Fiber Talk and listen to her. But, yeah, I really like her art. It's creative. Yep.
And in that magazine, you said you liked the Noel, which was kind of like it looked like it had gold work and then like a stump work leaf in it. What, I got to ask you, what drew you to that piece?
Well, a couple of things. It's Wendy Innes. I got to see if I can get Wendy to do a show with us. Wendy Innes is the designer. And all it's on a red ground cloth. It's Christmas, obviously. And then it's gold work and ornouet. And then the word Noel, and then there's some stars that have some gold work around them and some crystals. And then there's a stump work pair of holly leaves. Yeah, I think what it is it's just so elegant. It's simple and elegant, yet, you know, to look at. It's not something you get tired of looking at, but from a stitching perspective, I think there's a nice challenge there, but not overwhelming. I mean, the stump work leaves would be the part that would be tough. I think it's just the elegance of it.
So anything to do with like, cause when I looked at it, I thought, I wonder if he likes the lettering, the way they did the Noel, kind of almost look like Gothic lettering the way, I don't know. I was just curious. So it's the variety of techniques maybe in there too that. Kinda.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the Noel, that font, you know, that's a fairly standard font, you know, 17th century or whatever. I don't know what century, but yeah, it's just elegant. It's not overdone. There's just enough. And the kind of thing you put on a wall and enjoy, but then from a stitching perspective, yeah, I think there's a nice little challenge. Those two holly leaves are just gorgeous, and you know, that stump work, and that would be a challenge.
Okay.
Stump work, yeah, with gold work on it. You know, I mean, it's not like, I mean, there's a lot to those leaves. I think they'd be the tough part.
Yeah.
No, I just, that out of that one, out of that book, that's the one that I thought, okay, I would do that. And I had Natalie Dupuis has, I sometimes edit, or proof her instructions or her articles. And she has a project coming up, in the distant future that she's, you know, those designers have to work so far ahead. And I just proofed it the other day, and it was, Ornouet, which is what Natalie loves. And so I was proofing that, and then the magazine showed up, and it's like, oh yeah, here, I got good instructions right here for how to do the Ornouet and make those, you know, make the corners tight, the turns tight.
Right.
And I thought, oh man, I got excellent instructions from Natalie. There's a nice design. That doesn't take a lot of gold work thread. So I don't know.
Yeah. Well, and have you ever tried gold work? That's.
I've played at it.
Okay.
But have I sat down and tried to do a project? No. I've just played at it, and just to see what it was like. What Mary Corbett said to me one time, it's not tough, it's just tedious.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I keep that in my mind when I look at it. And, you know, tedious is okay. Or, you know, it's just like fidgety, you know, you got to be careful. But right. That's okay. You know, that's relaxing in its own right. So.
Well, and I kind of think if you really dug into it, I think it's a technique you would like, because it really needs to be very precisely done.
Yeah.
Good. And you're a very precise person. So I think you would enjoy the technique once you got into it.
Yeah. I think that's what appeals to me is exactly that. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because it does a certain amount of, everything has to go to a certain way, precision, or it just doesn't look quite right.
Yeah. It doesn't look well. It doesn't look good at all. Yeah. Then it comes back to, I simply gotta get over the slate frame setup hump.
Oh,
you know, you know, I mean, it's, you know, it's really tragic, but that's what it is. Cause you know, I think, oh, gold work. Oh, I want to do that project. I'll get the materials. Oh, I got to set up a slate frame. So now I got to learn how to do that. And I know it's not tough because people do it all the time. It's just getting over the hump, you know?
Right. Right. And I think, again, it's going to be one of those things that once you do that, you might be needing more slate frames, because you will love having tension. Because I know, talking to Deb DeCrane, we were discussing scroll frames, and she was like, yeah, this is tight. She says, but it's not as tight as my Japanese embroidery, not as tight as I can get. And she's, because that's what she does mainly. That's her kind of her passion, her love. She likes to have everything drum tight when she stitches. And so, yeah. And for me, I don't need to. That's not, you know, for me, I kind of like a little bit of slide in my fabric, I guess. A little give. And so for me, it's not as important, and it doesn't bother me. But I know, I just think if you get that slate frame up, set up, you would never turn back.
Yeah. See, and that's just it. I'm convinced of that, cause I like things as tight as they can get, the ground cloth as tight as it can get. And I am absolutely, you're dead on. I'm sure that once I learn to do it and can get it satisfactory, that yeah, I'll never go back to anything else. Yep. Everything will go on a slate frame. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'll have a stack of lumber here a foot high.
Yeah, so you need to learn to do it before the retreat we're having, and then you could bring that and either, you know, put it out for sale, or put all the scrap wood, or put it on a freebie table and say, here, you want to try a stretcher bars? Here's these cheapy ones.
Yeah, get them out of here. I don't need them anymore. Yep.
I'm using a slate frame.
Yep. Now, I found it, because we were having an exchange about what's in the magazine, and I found it right. interesting, because you can take or leave gold work for the most part. But
right.
the Balthazar Christmas Beetle.
I know. I saw
Tanya Cohen from Australia. And then that you selected that, even though it's gold work, as what you would do, your favorite thing.
Yes. And I look at it and it's like, Beth, that is gold work. And I'm like, but look, the wings move.
Yeah.
And it's three dimensional. And I've decided that something that it just calls me every time. It's, you know, and even that there's like a redwork box in there, which is, I think it's backstitch. I think you trace the design on. And I thought, Beth, you have so many of those charts. You have Willing Hands by Betsy Morgan, which was also, I think, put out by Inspiration.
Yep.
And you have those books to make a TUIs. And I think that's what appeals to me. It's the 3D-ness of it. And we were discussing this. I was discussing this with someone the other day, like, why do these things appeal to you? And I'm like, I think it's the engineering in me. I want to know, how did they make it? How did they construct and put it together so you have something that's three-dimensional?
Yeah.
That, you know, more than just a flat surface.
Yeah, yeah. It goes beyond just hanging on the wall. Yeah.
Right, right, right. How did they make it into a box? How did they make it into this beetle? You know, how did they make that penguin? How did Jenny Aiden Christie make that owl?
Yeah, yeah, that owl. All the stuff Jenny Aiden Christie has done, and when you see that owl, you go, "Holy smokes, lady! Wow!"
I know, and I've seen that. You know, and she's got the two birds. I guess they're wrens or something on a little mound, and they're nice. And I've looked at them, and I think, yeah, they're kind of nice. But the owl.
Yep.
With the head that comes off and has a little thimble inside. I'm like,
Yep.
My wish list.
Yeah. Well, you know, this red treasure box that's in Inspirations, it's a mm-hmm. whole thing, because it's a Biscornu and a place for a needle book and scissor thing, and it's a whole thing, whole right. package of things, all red work. And it's Di Kirchner. Who does it is beautiful, and there's tassels on it. And we have a show coming up with Anna Crutchley.
Yes.
Is that who it was?
Yes, I do believe so.
Making tassels. And so mm-hmm. when I saw those, I thought, wait a minute, I'm not just going to do those simple basic tassels. We got to have a little something more. But that's a project. You know, when you talk about something that doesn't just go on the wall, that's a project. Beautiful red treasure box that would not be overwhelming to do.
Mm-mm.
And
it, yeah, and think of all. I look at it and I think, okay, that's got lots and lots of stitching. How much enjoyment would it be to you stitch all these little pieces and then you put them together, and now you have this box that has all your things you need when you go to a stitch meeting or something. You can carry your box that you've made with your stitching supplies in it.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. This, what is it here? 20-inch square of natural 32-count linen. And on that, then they show you how to lay out the needle book cover, the needle stand, thread holder, the box top, and it's all the sides, the scissor fob, scissor case, cover, and the Biscornu all on that one piece.
Right.
Yeah, and then what are we using for thread here?
I don't have my magazine in front of me. Ill prepared.
Well, let's see here. Threads here. Oh, okay. DMC number 8 Pearl and DMC 498 Stranded Cotton. So there's one. Yeah, you need a piece of linen and 32 count linen, and
yes.
Some DMC thread, and you can make an amazing project.
Right, right. And if you don't like red, do it in blue.
Right, which I would.
Or purple, and do it on, instead of like, that looks like a kind of a natural kind of brownish linen, you could use white, you could use, you know, whatever color you like.
Yep.
Oh, yellow and brown.
Yeah, there's another one, yeah. And that's the other thing, is if you get, if you're going to get Inspirations, get the print magazine. Because you can get it as a digital magazine, which is nice, and that's convenient. I have a bunch of them, because I didn't think I wanted the print magazine. Then I picked up a print magazine in a store, and get the print magazine, because in the back, they have a pull-out section of all of the outlines for all the projects in the magazine as they apply. And so you actually can take those, and then it makes it easy to transfer. So the printed magazine is worth it just for that if you're going to do the projects. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a nice magazine. And again, you know, you don't need to – it's nice just to look through them. You know, we're just talking here, you know. Yeah, like we're ever going to start another project, but but they're beautiful. They're beautiful to go back and look at. And one member of my guild said she went through and she culled her old Inspirations and she looked at them and seriously said, "I'm never going to do anything in this magazine," and brought it to our stash sale. Well, there's only one that I didn't have. So I debated on it and no one had taken it. I said, "Okay, I'm going to take that one." And then someone who didn't have any took, I think she took the rest. But they're just beautiful magazines just to look at. I like just, you know, just taking them out and reading through the articles again, looking at the pictures.
I think for the most part we could say that the designs are rather timeless.
Yes.
So if you go back to, you know, issue number 20, I'm sure that most of that stuff in there is still something you do today.
Right. 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 You might tweak the colors a little bit, but yeah. I think most of them, for the most part, you would. Yeah. And yeah, I think they're just great books to have, you know, for reference, even the magazines to go back and look at and say, "Oh, How do I do this?" Well, I bet I have an Inspiration that has that information in it.
Yep, and you are so right. I mean, their stitch diagrams and illustrations are just superb. Yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing like them.
Yep.
Yeah, and that new book, and then the old book, It was Pincushions, but it was the Design Collection. Was that what it was called? I can't remember. Anyway. That was a beautiful book.
Yep.
Just gorgeous projects in it.
Yep. Okay. Thus ends the Inspirations marketing segment of our show. No, it really is. I mean, I every time that it comes in the mail, you know, and it's all wrapped in plastic, so you get it. Because these are collecting magazines. They're not something you just throw away. You keep them. Yeah.
Right.
So, get yourself a subscription. You'll enjoy it. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yes.
And let's see I got to tell the story. Susan Berger wrote to me. She's a listener, longtime listener. And we've talked about the Halo battery units that especially if you're going to go to guild meetings or you're going to go to retreats or whatever. And a lot of them anymore they're not going to run cords all over the place because of safety. So you have to bring your own power supplies. Well, Halo is the best one. The Halo battery packs are the best. And so Susan wrote to me that she purchased the Halo that we suggested for her first seminar, and it worked out great. And she even used it to keep her iPad charged while she was flying across the country so she could watch movies. So, they last for the battery power in those things lasts. It's really got a lot. But then one of the things that they promote when you buy the battery, and it actually comes with it, is a set of jumper cables, because they promote it as a device that you can use to jump your car if the battery's dead or won't start, which usually would happen if the battery's dead, now that you think about it. Okay, so that sounds good, and I took the battery cables and I threw them in the wheel well of our car just to have them there, and then I realized I never have the the battery with me, so that's all pointless. But you think about that. Okay, this thing is, what, 8 inches long, maybe a couple inches thick, heavy, but, you know, it's not a huge thing. And you think, all right, would it really start a car? You know, come on.
Yeah.
Really? Okay, well, Susan Berger tells her husband, she and her husband loaded up their van with bikes, and the car wouldn't start. They had an outing planned, a day outing planned. She pulled out her Halo, attached it to the battery. They waited about 5 minutes, and the car started. She says her husband was shocked. They threw the Halo in the car and drove to the bike trail, did their riding, you know, did their daily event. When they returned, the car wouldn't start again. And the Halo started it again. And she said each time it used about one bar of the power, and like the 5 or 6 bars on the thing. So it isn't even making a dent. I mean, it's making a dent, but it's not wiping out the whole thing, because you'd think to jump a car, a backup battery like that would get completely drained. But, it's, you know, using 20% of it. So obviously they're going to get the car battery replaced, but it saved their whole day.
Yeah. That's great. I you know, because we have one of those battery chargers in our car, but it's not a Halo. But, man, that's powerful for that little thing. I didn't think it would. When I started reading the story, I was like, there's no way.
Right.
There's no way. I'm just surprised.
I know. And then when you get it, and, you know, there literally are battery cables in it. Like, they come as part of the deal. You know, there's the cube to charge up the battery, and then there's these clamp-on battery cables for a car. Okay, fine. I'll put them in the car. But, like, yeah, it really is stupid. Yeah, they're in the car, and you go, oh, wait, you know, the car's dead. We can jump up. No, we can't, because the battery is at home in my bag of needlework. But, yeah, you think, oh, that's just marketing. There's no way. And twice in a day. So,
wow. That's just shocking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good product.
And so that then suggests that, yeah, you should get one and keep it in the car.
Yeah.
For
those emergencies when your car battery starts.
Yep. So that's very cool. Very cool. So, yay, Susan, the day wasn't ruined. And Halo to the rescue. Yay.
Yeah. Yay.
Yep.
Yeah.
Can't get over the new Avlia pillows.
Oh, I know. And my son just moved to a new apartment. Thank goodness. The shag in his old apartment was disgusting.
Shag? Wait a minute. Shag carpet?
Yes. So what?
Imagine. That's got to be ancient stuff. Yuck.
And it was by the coloring. And I was like, okay. And when they first moved in, I was like, can't you ask them to, they should replace this carpet. I mean, it really was gross. It was disgusting. Anyway, he finally.
Okay, I got to interrupt that story. When I was growing up, we lived in an old farmhouse. Parents didn't have a lot of money. Carpet was, it got to the point where carpet was just down to the, you know, the ground cloth basically. And so it was, you know, whatever year it was when shag carpet was hot.
Oh.
And so they had to replace, they had to replace the carpet in the house, and because there was not hardwood floors underneath it. It was, you know, it was old house, and replaced it with shag carpet, the kind you had to rake, you know, you got the rake.
Oh.
And I bet it wasn't 6 months, and we all just hated it. Cause it never looked good. You know, brand new carpet. It was always stomped down. And then you'd vacuum, and then you'd have to rake to get it to look good. And then somebody would walk through and say, oh, what was the point of that? Right. Yeah, okay. All right, shag carpeting, never, ever. No, whose idea was that? Yuck.
I know. Well, they were forced to move. They, I don't know, they had to move, and I was glad. So he got a new place. He got rid of the nasty couch, which was also another disgusting thing. But, you know, college students, you know, what do you expect? College students, I should say. I don't think.
Yeah, that's the worst ones right there. Yep.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Sorry, gentlemen, but, you know, lower priorities than us women. Anyway, and he bought a new little love seat, and it's cute. And I said, ooh, I need some pillows. And I could see Avlia pillows on his sofa. Because again, she shows you how to make them so that that cover comes off of the pillow form. So you could make it so technically he could throw it into the wash if he ever wanted to wash.
On that momentous occasion.
Yes, maybe when mom's coming over. Oh, I better wash. Mom's coming. I know how that goes. Trust me. But anyway, they would look, they're classy. They don't look effeminate, you know, in a guy's apartment. They would just look very classy, any of the designs.
Yep.
Yeah. And I'm looking forward to when she gets the surface design ones out, because I think those will be fun to stitch.
Yeah.
She hasn't released any of those yet, has she?
Not that I know of, no. I don't think so. Yeah.
I will be stocking her shop. But those are, I mean, they're just a beautiful design. And I think it'd be easy. It really is easy to change the colors on them, because she doesn't use that many.
Right.
You know, to change it to a color scheme you like better. She's got a great design sense. But.
Yep. Yeah, there's three of them, three new ones. Just go to avliafolkembroidery.com and you'll find it. Two of them have great big open spaces in the middle. They're just a border. And every time I see that, I see a great big calligraphy type initial, like for you, a great big E,
right,
sitting in there.
Oh, that would be fun. Yeah. That would be fun. Yeah, I didn't even think of that. That would be great. That's a great idea.
See that? Yeah. To me, it wouldn't be finished. I mean, she gives you that space, and it looks good by itself. I mean, you don't need anything there, but I just want, like for me, I just want a great big script P in there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think it'd be a real showpiece then. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, I think it'd be easy too, you know, you've mentioned this before, taking some of the design and translating it into a needlepoint. And not just like a basket weave. Some of those spaces look like they'd be perfect for putting a Jessica or something in there if you wanted to, which would be fun.
Yeah.
And I couldn't do that. Pillow at my son's house, but you know.
Mom's coming. We better clean this place up. Yeah. Okay.
I have to run the vacuum cleaner.
But yeah, that's the, you know, you can do that. That's easy to do with the cross stitch stuff, is convert it to needlepoint and stitch it. Yeah. Piece of cake. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just change it just a little bit.
Yeah. Because the charts are, you just use the same chart, and you just do it on canvas, you know. And, but yeah, a lot of Krista West stuff, the designs, those Greek designs that she gets off of tiles, it doesn't take more than 30 seconds to figure out that there's a Jean Hilton stitch of some kind that could go in there and give the same shape and feel and be a completely different stitch, without a doubt. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be an idea. I have a question for you. Okay. Do you ever think about how much stitching you accomplished during the year?
No, because it's depressing.
So you don't go back and look and say, oh, I've gotten this much done, or I'd like to get this finished before the end of the year.
No, I don't because, finishing pieces is not something, but it frustrates me. See, that would just frustrate me even more that, you know, how realistically how little I've done. A lot of starts, you know, a lot of little bits, but no, that it would really be demoralizing if I sat back and did that. Now, like for you, you accomplished quite a bit, but.
Yeah. But I guess some years I don't, though. Some years I accomplish less. Like this year I accomplished a lot.
Yeah.
But I think the year before I didn't accomplish nearly as much. But you know, I think sometimes it's kind of nice to look back and kind of make an assessment and to see what worked and what didn't work. And I think for you, especially this year, I mean, you moved, right? Did you move this year or was that last
That
year?
was last year, yeah.
All right. But then you started grandpa duties.
Right.
And that's gotta take a ton of time. I mean, there's just no way around it. I mean, it's not like you dislike doing it. It's why you moved.
Right.
This is right now is probably just a season for you.
Yep. Yeah, there's that, and on top of it is time. 'Cause one of the things, like this past weekend, I was thinking, oh, I got zero stitching done. Now I did play with threads for the Saint-Tropez thing to see what I want to do, so I did get some time in. But and this isn't a complaint, but so much of the time gets taken up doing prep work for podcasts. And and that's fine. We enjoy doing them. They're a lot of fun, but there is a lot of time for it. So like for every Sunday show, there's just an awful lot of research and background time that goes into each show so that you can have an intelligent conversation with the person, or semi-intelligent or whatever. But so it does. It's not like I'm not doing needlework. It's just a different kind. And so yeah, that takes up a lot of free time. And well, I mean, you do the same prep for the Sunday shows, and you know what it takes. And so for me, it's yeah, the time to stitch gets limited. And yeah, I've had some health issues here that have kept my energy down, that now apparently it was all allergies, which has been a fascinating thing. All summer long, just dragging my heels, just tired all the time, and apparently, I live in a cesspool of allergens. So,
Well, at
that's
least you out.
I know, but who'd have thought that, But now that's starting to straighten out. I actually get up in the morning and feel like I can do something. So yeah, it's but I mean, it's not like I don't get the needlework in, because there's plenty of talking about it, no doubt about it, but. Like right now, I'm sitting at my table, and I have all the Rainbow Gallery threads out that I was researching to use on the Saint-Tropez thing. And I was making a little progress there, and then I decided it wasn't going to work out. Well, now they're all sitting here because I haven't gotten back to them. So, yeah, it's
Right,
just,
and there is
it's just a personal thing. I can't help it,
right, and for me, it's like today is going to be taken up with getting ready for my guild meeting. I've got to, gather things for that, and so, there is though there are those things that kind of keep us from doing it, and I don't know. I sometimes I like to say, okay, well, what worked and what didn't work, and see if I can change things. So I have more, a little bit more time, even just, I think we talked to somebody who's going to be a guest coming up, and she said, she, even if she just had 5, 10 minutes, and I think that's something you still don't, aren't able to figure out how to do, just to take 5 minutes and stitch,
No,
10 minutes.
no, I haven't. We've talked about that 1,000 times, and I haven't. And you know what? I was thinking this weekend, okay, when I had a little time Sunday, I had some time to stitch, but then we had to get ready for another guest. And I got done with that, and I thought, all right, I should stitch. And I thought, what I really want to do is I want to just sit here and do some mindless cross stitch. I feel like doing that to actually have to apply my mind to select colors and do a Jessica or whatever. I just don't want to. So it would be really nice to just do some cross stitch, but I'd put all my cross stitch stuff away because I was going to work on some needlepoint stuff. And then it came back to me, it was Sarah Dennis, I think, who said she has several slate frame trestles set up in her studio, because so she could work on different things. And I thought, you know, I need to at least try and set up a cross-stitch piece that stays set up for that 5 or 10 minute thing. So right. that it isn't, you know, we talk about you finish a session and you put the thread in for the next stitch, you put in the next thread so that you can start stitching again. I think I need to take that a step further and set up a piece that stays set up with a thread loaded so I can do that 5 or 10 minute thing without having to take 10 minutes to get all set up to go.
Right. Right. And I actually wonder if your little band sampler wouldn't be ideal for that because it's a nice small little piece and, you know, so it doesn't take up a lot of space, which also could be a problem if you have something that's, you know, taking up a ton of space. Who wants to be having that just laying around, right. you know?
Yeah.
And then too small, you'd see progress on it too, which is also could be nice. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I gotta change my approach here. We've talked about me changing my approach, but now I actually am feeling rather normal these days. So, miracle of modern medicine. Cause yeah, I mean, it was just all summer long. All I wanted to do was take a nap. And it turns out it was allergies pounding on my body. Who knew?
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's kind of where I'm at right now. And I realize it's, you know, one more in a long list of excuses and justifications, but.
And I think women sometimes we know, you know, especially if we're a stay at home mom, you don't always have huge chunks of time.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just don't, you know, you have 5 minutes, you have 15 and you know, you want to get something done in that time. And so you just, you take it. You don't say, well, okay. You find a way to use that time usefully. And I think it has to do with, you know, just being, you know, not having huge chunks of time to yourself.
At the risk of being absolutely sexist. Isn't that a skill that is particularly as a mother that you learn?
I think so. I mean, I think if you were a stay-at-home dad, you might have learned it. I mean, but I think women, you know, you just do. If you're, you only have so much time in a day, and to get everything to fit in, you've got to not waste any of it.
Yep.
One of the time management skills.
Well, I mean, fundamental things like the baby sleeping. I haven't had a shower in a day and a half. You know,
right, hurry up. Right. House is quiet. No one is breaking anything. Okay, I'm going to read a page from this book.
Right. But but see, you know, and that's a powerful tool to have. Especially, I mean, even when the kids are grown, that's a powerful tool to have because you really do make the most of your time.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
You just learn, you know, that's how to get everything done you want to.
It's survival, isn't it? I mean, come on.
Right, right. And it's nice too when I apply it to my needlework, it's like, okay, so I can only work on this piece maybe 15 minutes and that's all it's going to get a day or maybe even a week. But over time, if I work on it consistently, then I will see progress on it. And that's and that's the one nice thing about needlework is that if you do just a little each time, you do see progress. You know, you can see all of a sudden it's like, whoa, I'm halfway done or I'm most of the way done with this piece.
Yeah. Yeah. How'd that happen? Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Because I haven't given it much time, but yeah, kind of nice.
Okay. I have to learn from the women. Learn some time management from the women. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. I'll admit, I am always looking for that block of uninterrupted time, and it rarely shows up. Rarely,
right? And I think in our modern world, most people just don't have just huge hunks of time where nothing is happening.
Right. Right.
I think it's just part of how our world is running now. Right. You know.
Well, that, you know, yeah, and that's just it, is, you know, where's the day that there isn't something that interrupts the flow of the day? Mm-hmm. And they're so rare. They're just so rare. But, yeah, I think that maybe that's going to be the key to me, is to set one up that is simple and I can just do.
Yeah. And something that you really love, that you want to, like, yeah, I really would like to see this completed. You know, yeah. You have a motivation, nothing over one.
No, exactly. But see, and that's the thing. I mean, I set up this room, I have room. It's not like I don't.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Once again, I will be energized to make an effort. We'll see how it goes. Holy smokes. Boy, I just looked at the clock. We got to wrap up. So join us tonight. Michelle Anae Morgan, Mutually Assured Deconstruction, will join us. We get to enjoy her artwork and learn how she puts it together. And then Sunday, Ruth Norbury, Gothic Decay, textile art. Can we say, like, you haven't seen?
Yes, it is. Her work is very original.
Yeah. And, you think, all right, needlework. Yeah, she does a lot of needlework on it, but all the other things that go into it.
Right, right. It's her layers. That's what draws me in. Yep. It's all the layers.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you'll learn how she uses a stamp pad, and not with stamps, but she'll turn the thing over and just put it right on the ground cloth.
Right, and also, she uses what she has, and yep. I think something we could all learn, me especially, use what you have.
Well, that was the thing of talking with her, exactly that.
Yeah,
she has no interest in going out and buying a bunch of stuff. She lives at a thrift store while she works there part time, but I mean, most of her stuff is just stuff she grabs at a thrift store and repurposes, like buying old jewelry and tearing it apart to get beads.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Wow, you know, for me, I mean, it seems obvious, but when I read that and we talked to her about that, it was like, why wouldn't you?
Yeah. Right, right. Especially, you know, okay, I've sucked my husband into going to estate sale. These bags of jewelry, and I have been passing them by, but now she's got me, you know, thinking,
Yeah. Well, like you were saying, you know, if you don't live near a bead store for some of these inspirations things, that, you know, getting the beads, but then now that we talk about it, you don't have to use the exact bead they have, but what could you find in jewelry from an estate sale?
Right, right.
Yep. Right. Yeah.
Purpose. Yeah, she was fun. She was fun. That's coming up on Sunday, isn't it?
Right. That is Sunday. Yeah. Yeah. She is. Yeah. I think we can safely say textile art like you've never seen. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Very cool stuff. It's amazing. People all over the world, what they can do. Yep. All right. Now we really better stop. So, okay. Join us tonight, 8 o'clock Eastern time on the YouTube channel. Ruth Norbury Sunday. Thanks for listening.
Bye.